From Quality Radio Productions, it's the Upstate Radio Theater, an hour of sounds from the golden age of radio, coming to you from the Finger Lakes region of New York State. I'm Jake Longwell. We'll open the hour with some comedy, as we have an episode of the Phil Harris, Alice Faye Show, starring the real-life husband and wife couple of bandleader, comedian, and singer Phil Harris, and singer and film actress Alice Faye. Their marriage was the plot line of an episode of the Jack Benny program in the early 1940s. Of course, at that time, Phil was employed as Jack's orchestra leader. Their first full-time radio series occurred in 1946 when they presented the Fitch Bandwagon, a musical variety show. Eventually, Phil Harris and Alice Faye became the focal point of that series, and program evolved into the Phil Harris Alice Faye Show in 1948 when Fitch pulled their sponsorship and Rexall, the major pharmaceutical company, took over sponsorship of the series. By the time of the episode we're about to hear, the program was sponsored by RCA, which was NBC's parent company. The series also starred, among others, Elliot Lewis and Walter Tetley as regular cast members. This broadcast, program number 262 in the series, originally aired on November 6th of 1953 on NBC, From Here to Eternity. The Phil Harris, Alice Faye Show, opening up this hour of the Upstate Radio Theater.
Hey, you know, Curly, there's one thing that bothers me.
What's that, Ellie?
Well, you're an actor and a singer, and you got a radio show, and you do television guest spots, and you play the drums, and you play golf, and how do you do all those things?
Magnificently.
RCA Victor, world leader in radio, first in recorded music, and first in television, presents the Phil Harris Alice Faye Show. Here is the Phil Harris Alice Faye Show, transcribed, written by Ed James and Phil Shukin, with Elliot Lewis, Walter Tetley, John Hubbard, Janine Roos, Ann Whitfield, Walter Scharf in his music, and yours truly, Phil Foreman. The title of tonight's little doozy is, How Long Will the Genius of Lovable, Laughable Phil Harris Go Undiscovered, or From Here to Eternity? The stars of the RCA Victor program, Alice Faye and Phil Harris. There's an old saying that every worm will turn, but Phil Harris is one worm who hasn't quite made it. Today, however, promises to be different. There's a steely glint in Phil's blue eyes, firmness in his manly jaw, as he approaches the kitchen, chanting the praises of the one man he admires above all others. Guess who?
RCA, please drop a line. My show is fine and I'm divine. I'd be gorgeous on TV. P.S. I love me. La-da-dee-ba-ba-ba.
You?
No, it's Art Linkletter smelling like sunshine. Sure, it's me. Who'd you think it was?
Oh, what's the matter, Phil? Are you upset about something?
Upset? Me? Why should I be upset? I never get upset. I got nerves of iron, nerves of steel.
Well, something must be wrong. Do you know what you're drinking? Water.
Ooh, how do you like that? Now they'll take away my good merit badge.
Say, honey, you'd better get in a good mood. You know, I invited Mr. McDevitt to dinner.
Now you've done it. Now you've done it. Now you spoil my whole day.
Why, Phil...
Mr. McDevitt, there's a fine character for you.
Now look, honey, when Mr. McDevitt was made head of the record division of RCA, you said you wanted to throw him a party.
Alice, please, I don't want to talk about Mr. McDevitt. I don't want to think about Mr. McDevitt. I don't ever want to hear his name.
Mr. McDevitt?
Yeah.
Okay.
All right. Mr. McDevitt. Talk about Indians being Indian givers. He takes it away before he even gives it to you.
Oh, Phil, is that all that's worrying you?
Look, he promised me a solid gold record, and I want it.
But, Phil...
He gave Mario Lanza a gold record.
I know.
He gave Dinah Shore a gold record.
Well, sure, but...
And both of them together ain't half as pretty as I am.
Well, you only get the award for selling a million records.
I sold a million records, half of his and half of hers.
You have to sell a million of your own.
Oh, now they tell me. Wait a minute. How about Preacher and the Bear?
Well, look, honey, Mr. McDevitt will be here for dinner tonight, and you can tell him all about it.
And don't think I ain't going to tell him about... Hey, another one. How about Darktown Poker Club?
Well, Phil, when Mr. McDevitt...
And what about comes, That's What I Like About the South? That must have sold a million copies, not even counting the Yankees.
Phil.
Wait a minute. And another one, young lady. How about The Thing? I suppose that didn't sell a million copies. My mother's got the roof shingled with it.
But The Thing sold a million.
Then why don't I get that gold record? I got a good mind to walk out on that RCA. That's what I got a good mind to do.
Phil,
I
ain't gonna... Winter's coming on.
Hi, Curly.
Okay, so winter's coming on. RCA may be the best, but it ain't the only sponsor in the world.
Hi, Alice.
Well, name two others. Go ahead, name two others.
Hello, Mr. Harris.
I'll name a dozen. There's,
Hello, Miss Fay.
You're doing fine, Phil. Fine.
Well, don't rush me.
Hello, Mr. and Mrs. Harris.
How about the company that sells soap?
That has a familiar ring.
Hello, Mr. and Mrs. Fay.
How many does that mean?
So far, you've got a clue.
Well, I'm thinking, honey. I'm just thinking.
Hello, Elliot. What are you doing here?
Now, you sure they sell soap, huh?
Positive.
Oh, I just happened to be in the neighborhood. I thought I'd drop in. Well, so long, Elliot. Drop in any old time.
Well, I got news for you. RCA better watch their P's and G's. That's all I got to say.
Hi, Curly. Hi, Alice.
Hello, Elliot.
I made it.
Oh, hi, Elliot. What are you doing here?
Oh, I just happened to be in the neighborhood, and I thought I'd drop in.
Oh, yeah. Hey, Elliot.
Yes, Curly?
Is this the first time you've been in here?
Why do you ask, Curly?
I don't know. I just got a feeling this whole thing happened before and we're playing it back at a more convenient time.
Hey, what's the package, Elliot?
Hmm?
The package.
Oh, I found it on the porch. It's from RCA.
RCA?
Phil, look out, your brain.
Oh, honey, give me that package.
Okay, Curly.
A package from RCA and he just holds it. Alice, look.
At what?
Have you ever seen a package that looks more like a solid gold record?
I got a package like that once. It was full of old tea bags.
All right, Elliot.
No, my mother thought I'd appreciate some old tea.
Yeah,
right,
yeah.
Phil, stop talking. Stop talking.
Okay.
And open the package.
All right, Alice. Oh, honey, what if it isn't a gold record?
Open it up.
I'm afraid.
You think we ought to soak it in water first?
Oh.
Just put it down. I'll open it.
Okay, honey, but now take it easy now. Don't bruise it. Oh, it's got to be a gold record. It's got to be a gold record. It's got to be.
Phil?
Yeah?
It's a gold record.
How do you like that? Them cheap... It's what?
Phil, you made it.
Oh, I made it. You hear that, Elliot? I made it. I got a gold record.
How about...
Isn't that beautiful? Hey, Elliot, it's solid gold.
Boy, the teeth they could fill with that thing. Is it heavy?
Oh, yeah, man. Weighs a ton.
Let me hold it, huh?
Elliot, get them pawn shop mitts away from me.
Can't I even touch
it? Don't even breathe in there. Hey, Alice, you know what we got to do now? We're going to build a trophy room or something.
No, you don't have to do that, Curly. I'll stop breathing.
That's what you say now, but will you? The second I turn my back, you'll start breathing again. I got to protect this record, Elliot. I got to get something to show it off to Mr. McDevitt.
Hey,
something to...
Hey, I know what we can do. There's a wonderful antique store only five blocks away, real high class. They got all kinds of things. Trophy cases, display cases.
Well, gee, that's what we want. Let's get down there.
Wait a minute, honey. Here's the card that came with the record.
Oh, let me see that. Yeah. Hey, listen to this.
What?
From RCA Victor and T. McDevitt, with sincere appreciation to a great comedian, entertainer, and vocalist. They sure hit it on the head, didn't they?
I'd say it was more of a glancing blow.
What does that mean?
Well, look, Curly, you're a great guy, and I love you, but, great comedian?
Oh, you think I ain't, huh? Let me tell you something, Hastings. I'm a million laughs, you hear me? Million of them.
Let's start with one.
Okay. You want one, huh? This'll fracture you. You know, Elliot, I got a melancholy girl. She's got a shape like a melon and a face like a collie. That's pretty good just for a throw, ain't it? Huh? Fast job.
Well, that takes care of comedian. What do you want to try for now, entertainer or vocalist?
Elliot, let's get down to that antique shop, will you?
Girlie, entertainer or vocalist?
What are you kidding? Entertainer. Georgie Jessel, just listen to this.
All right.
How slow methinks this old moon wanes. It lingers my desire. Come, fair Apollo, our nuptious hour is near.
Well, that leaves vocalist.
Okay, I'm going to sing, and then we're going down to that antique shop. You know something? I got a feeling this is going to be the luckiest day of my life. They call you Lady Luck, but there is room for doubt. At times you have a very unladylike way of running out. You're on a date with me. The pickings have been lush. And yet before this evening is over, you might give me the brush. You might forget your manners. You might refuse to stay. And so the best that I can do is pray. Luck be a lady tonight. Luck be a lady tonight. Luck, if you've ever been a lady to begin with, luck be a lady tonight.
Be a lady, luck be a lady.
Luck, let a gentleman see.
Let a gentleman see.
How nice a dame you can be.
How nice you can be.
I know the way you've treated other guys you've been with. Luck be a lady tonight.
Tonight be a lady, love.
A lady doesn't leave her escort. It isn't fair.
It isn't fair.
It isn't nice.
It isn't nice.
A lady doesn't wander all over the room and blow on some other guy's dime. So let's keep the party polite. Never get out of my sight. Stick with me, baby. I'm the fella you came in with. Luck be a lady. Luck be a lady. Luck be a lady tonight.
Whenever you're ready, we ought to go steady. Luck be a lady tonight. Luck be a lady tonight. Luck be a lady tonight.
Luck, if you've ever been a lady to begin with, luck be a lady tonight.
Stick with me, luck, stick with me, lady luck.
Let a gentleman see how nice a dame you can be.
I know the way you've treated other guys you've been with. Luck be a lady with me.
Lady doesn't leave her escort.
It isn't fair, it isn't nice.
A lady doesn't wander all over the room and blow on some other guy's dime.
It isn't nice. So let's keep the party polite. Never get out of my sight.
Stick with me, baby. I'm the fella you came in with.
Luck
be a lady.
Luck
be a lady.
Luck be a lady tonight.
Oh, Elliot, how much farther is this antique shop? Where is this?
The antique store? Oh, half a block, a couple hundred feet.
And you're sure it's a good one now, huh?
Good? It's the best. They get stuff from all over the world.
Well, they just better have something special for my solid gold record, boy. That's all I gotta say.
Hey, Curly. You got that record for The Thing, huh?
Yeah. The Thing. What a solid slab of shellac.
Did you ever find out what the thing was?
I know. What are you talking about? I know what it was. I was there, wasn't I?
Okay. Hey, Curly. What was the thing?
Elliot, you couldn't expect me to tell you a secret like that.
Well, I'm your best friend.
I know, but
Curly, if I tell anybody, may I become a page turner for Liberace?
Ha, ha, ha.
Okay.
Oh, you have just said it. Precisely that. Okay. You're my buddy, huh?
You betcha.
And I'm going to tell you. Lean over.
Yeah?
Hey, you ain't going to believe this. But the thing was a... A what? Come here.
Grab your face, Woody.
Curlock. You mean that it actually...
Every time.
Well, if that ain't... You know, that's the one thing I never thought of.
Sure. Simple, ain't it?
Why didn't everybody figure
Wait a minute, Ellie. Wait a minute.
Hmm?
Hold it. Is this the place, the shop?
Oh, yeah. Classy-looking joint, ain't it?
Oh, man, you said that right. Look up there. Look at them sterling silver letters. J.C. Nickel and Sons. And look at that platinum doorknob.
Well, use it. Let's go in.
Yeah, okay.
Yes?
Mr. Nickel?
Yes.
I'm Phil Harris, and I want to buy a trophy case.
I see. Would that be for pints, fifths, or quarts?
It's a record.
Oh, barrels, casks, or bags?
Look, Mr. Nichols.
Hey, what's this thing over here?
Ooh, you're an observant little rascal. That is a nail-studded contour chair for Indian fakers with weak backs.
Hey, you ought to try this, Curly.
Elliot, that's for Indian fakers.
That's what I said. You ought to try it.
Ooh, that was a goodie. I had a feeling this was going to be one of those days. And now, what do you want, red eyes?
I still want the same thing. You see, Mr. Nickel, I was the one who sang the thing, and...
And you want some place to hide.
No. I want a trophy case to put my gold record in. You see, it sold a million copies...
Mr. Nickel!
Elliot, will you leave the man alone?
No, wait a minute, Curly. I think I got something.
Yes, Curly, please, quiet. Martin Kane's at work again.
No kidding. Look at this, Curly. This is great.
What is it?
I don't know. But ain't it terrific?
My dear sirs, for your information, that is a 17th century hutch.
The 17th century rabbits?
Yeah.
Do they get that old? Man, what a family they'd have.
Why, they ain't enough carrots in the whole world.
Mr. Harris, when you were a boy, which seems ridiculous at the moment... You probably referred to a hutch as a sideboard.
Oh, yeah, sure. Is that what that is?
Hey, wouldn't that be great for your record, Curly?
Oh, sure. What are you, nuts or something?
What's the matter?
That's all I need, a 15-foot sideboard for one record.
Yeah, a 15-foot, $300 sideboard.
Now, wait a minute, Curly. See this place down here? Well, that's just the right size for an RCA Victor 21-inch television set.
Yeah. With magic monitor and rotomatic tuning.
You had to get that in.
Look, you take care of your business and I'll take care of mine. Go ahead, Elliot.
Yeah, then over here on this side, it's just the right size for an RCA Victor automatic changer with a golden throat speaker to match your golden voice.
Shades of Christopher Wren, a 14th century jukebox.
Hey, but Elliot... It's so big.
Yeah, let's face it, it's bigger than all of us.
Wait a minute. Say, Mr. Nickel, what's that little fence on top for?
You, the things they ask. That little fence, Mr. Wormwood, is a plate rail.
Hey, can't you see it, Curly? You can put your record on the plate rail. Then if you get more, you'll have room for them, too.
Yeah. Hey, it'd hold a lot of them, wouldn't it? I could fill up that whole top with gold records.
You should live so long.
All right. Okay, we're going to take it, huh? Elliot, I'll write out a check and you tell him where we want it sent.
Okay.
Oh, we don't send things. You carry them.
carry them. You mean this?
No, we don't have to carry this, Curly. It's got casters. We just push.
Well, I don't know, Elliot. It's five blocks home.
Well, sure, but it's downhill.
Yeah, that ought not to be too hard, huh? No. We can push it down there.
Sure.
Okay, Elliot. Grab a hold. All right, push it over. All right, open the door. Let's go.
Oh, dear. I mustn't waste a moment. Hello, Mary. This is John. Get the children off the street. Phil Harris is pushing a sideboard home.
I got to have that line again, Roy. I'm supposed to be the one that is the test pilot for Seagrams, you know. Get Mary on the phone again, will you, Dad?
Right.
Hello, Mary. This is John. Get the children off the street. Phil Harris is pushing a sideboard home.
Hey, I thought you said this was downhill.
I don't understand it. When we went to the store, it was downhill.
Hey, Bud.
Hold it a minute, Elliot.
Yeah, all right.
Hey, buddy, over here. Hey, you want to buy a hot?
A hot what?
Anything. Who cares? I got contacts all over. Hey, how about a hot mink stove?
Look, buddy, I've been married 100 years. What are you asking?
Now, come on, Curly. I'm getting tired.
Oh, I got them, too.
What?
Hot tires.
Will you go away? We ain't interested in no hot nothing.
Hot hubcaps? Raccoon tails? Hey, how about a hot lacrosse racket? You can't hardly get none of them no more.
Push, Elliot.
Okay.
Hot $3 bills, hot water bottles, hot Alice Faye records. Hey, how about...
Wait a minute. Hold it, Elliot. Hold it.
All right.
Hey, buddy, what was that about Alice Faye records?
I got them, mister. Ain't hardly never been used. I get them from an old lady who lives in Pasadena.
You ain't got no Alice Faye records.
Oh, I ain't, huh? Well, you just listen to this.
Keep it gay, keep it light, keep it fresh, keep it fair. Let it bloom every night, give it room, give it air. Keep your love a lovely dream and never wake it. Make it happy and be happy as you make it. Let it sing like a nightingale in May. Keep it gay, keep it free, or you'll frighten it away. Take it easy and enjoy it while you take it. Keep it gay, keep it gay, keep it gay.
Keep it gay, keep it light, keep it fresh, keep it fair. Let it bloom every night, give it room, give it air.
Keep your love a lovely dream and never wake it. Make it happy and be happy as you make it.
Let it sing like a nightingale in May. Keep it gay, keep it free, or you'll frighten it away. Enjoy it while you take it. Keep it gay. Keep it gay. Keep it gay.
Gay. Gay. Hey, wait a minute, Curly. Hold it, will you? Boy, that thing's heavy.
Oh, come on, Elliot. You can't stop now. We're practically in my driveway.
Okay. Come on, let's go. Yeah.
Wait a minute. Hold it, Elliot. Hold it.
Now what's the matter?
Well, it ain't rolling. I think that... Oh, no. Now both of them back casters done snapped off.
Well, back to the drawing board.
No, now wait. We got to figure something out.
Look, why don't we skip the whole thing?
Because Mr. McDevitt's coming for dinner, that's why.
So what? He ain't going to eat off the sideboard.
The record, Elliot, the record. I want to show it off. Now, look, maybe if we pick it up...
Oh, fine. Sure. If we carry it, then we can't see where we're going.
But look, Elliot, if we... Uh-oh.
What?
Look who's coming.
Hiya, fellas. Where you going with Grant's comb?
Why, we're taking it to Richmond, General Lee. Right, Daniel Boone?
Hmm? Oh, yes. And we'd like to have it while the calla lilies are in bloom.
They finally cracked up. The bottom.
Hey, Julius, you're just in time. We need you.
Need me? You need a doctor.
No, we ain't kidding, Julius. We need you to see for us.
Croc!
No, Julius, no, honest. Look, you see, when we carry this thing, we can't see. So will you be a good kid and steer us around to the den?
Well, let me put it this way. No.
Well, let me put it this way. Julius, if you don't help us, I'll break every bone in your miserable little body.
Well, that's different. I'm always happy to help people if they ask me nice.
Okay, then. All right, let's go, Elliot. You lift the front end up.
Hey, Curly, you better take the front end. If I walk backwards, I get dizzy.
In your case, how do you tell?
All right, will you stop the talk already? Look, I'll take the front end. Okay, Elliot?
Okay.
All right, I got it.
I'll walk backwards.
Okay, Julius, Julius, where'd you go?
I'm up on top, steering.
Get down off of there, you little fink.
It's heavy enough without you.
You want I should tell you where to go? Then mush.
All right, go ahead. Go ahead, Elliot, mush.
I'm mushing, I'm mushing.
That's it, fella, straight ahead. You're doing fine.
Yeah.
Atta boy. A little to the right.
Yeah.
Stop pulling my ear, will you?
I gotta steer you, don't I? Keep going, fellas. Now you're getting it.
Yeah.
You're past the greenhouse.
Did you hear that, Elliot? We're past the greenhouse.
Oh, that's fine, fine.
Where are we now, Julius?
You're past the grape, Barber. You're doing great, fellas.
Yeah. Where's the swimming pool?
Over to your right a little bit more. A little bit more to the right.
Yeah.
Keep on. There you are!
Oof.
You find a swimming pool, okay, Mr. Harris?
You...
So long, suckers.
Well, sideboard's in the den, Elliot. We did it again. My end fits in there perfect.
Yeah, it does, huh? My end is out.
It's what?
The sideboard's bigger than the den. Now what are we going to do?
Are you kidding? There's only one thing we can do. We got to enlarge the den.
Hey, Curly, the den's finished.
Well, then why are they still hammering?
They got to put the porch back on. Oh. Hey, Curly, the porch is back on.
Attaboy.
But we got trouble. The den's so big, the porch is blocking the driveway.
Well, tell them to build a new driveway.
Hey, Curly, the driveway's finished.
How you talking?
What are we going to do about Mr. Agnello?
Who?
Mr. Agnello. He says the driveway's on his lot.
Well, buy the lot.
Right.
Phil, what's going on in here?
The hell with that. Where have you been? I thought I was going to have to shave again before you... Now, come running in again, will you, dear? Don't run, just walk. That's
Phil,
it.
Phil, what's going on in here?
What?
The orchestra, the Klieg lights, the grandstand.
Honey, Mr. McDevitt's going to be here any second.
But, Phil...
Alice, I can't talk.
Hey, he's here. Mr. McDevitt's here.
He is, huh? Hey, fellas, he's here.
Shall I start scattering the rose petals now, Curly?
No, not yet. Willie gets close up.
Oh, Phil, this is the silliest thing I've ever heard
of. It is, huh? You're just jealous because you never got a solid gold record.
Well, Harris, what's the occasion? What's the celebration for?
Welcome, Mr. McDevitt. Welcome to the official opening of the Phil Harris Trophy Room.
Why, this is ridiculous, Mr. Harris. Making all this fuss over a Little Nipper riddle album.
Over a... Wait a minute. Hold everything. Stop it. Stop it. Stop the music. You sent me a Little Nipper riddle album again?
Naturally. We listen to your show. Again.
But what about the record? I got a solid gold record.
So that's what happened to it. Well, you send it right over to H.O. Pinza, where it belongs.
Oh, no.
Alice and Phil will be back in just a moment. RCA Victor's new 45 extended play records give you more music for less money, almost 15 minutes per record. They make the Victrola 45 phonograph a better buy than ever. It's the simplest automatic phonograph made, all play and no work. You can listen to an hour and a half of your favorite music without changing a record. Listen to the Victrola 45 phonograph with the economical new 45 EP records at your RCA Victor dealers tomorrow.
This is Phil again. We're a little late, folks. Thanks, and good night.
Good night, everybody.
Included in this program transcribed were Frank Nelson, Herb Butterfield, and Herb Vigran. The part of Julius was played by Walter Tetley. This has been an NBC Radio Network production.
The Phil Harris, Alice Faye Show, from November 6th of 1953 on NBC, From Here to Eternity, predominantly a sitcom with some musical interludes. As a rule, each episode of the series included one song apiece from Phil Harris and Alice Faye. You are listening to the Upstate Radio Theater, presenting a wide range of sounds from radio's golden era. I'm Jake Longwell. If you'd like to get in touch with the program, you can do so by email. It's qualityradioproductions@gmail.com. I'd love to hear from you. Let me know what some of your favorite old-time radio programs are. You can also visit our blog and website, where you'll find much more info about the program, including detailed playlists and also streaming audio of this and previous radio theater broadcasts. This is episode 1523, by the way. And the address for the blog and website... well, that would be qualityradioproductions.blogspot.com. We'll wrap up the hour with some police drama, as we have an episode of In the Name of the Law. This was one of many syndicated crime dramas available to radio stations in the 1930s. The series based on true police stories. This broadcast, program number 12 in the series, released for syndication on August 16th, 1936. It's entitled, He Did It, or Did He?
In the name of the law, we bring you another of the thrilling stories in this exciting series, taken from actual police case files.
The story begins near midnight on November 4th, 1935. A heavy rain, riding the wings of an early November gale, lashes down on the sleeping city.
Oh, I beg your pardon.
Oh, that's all right.
I was holding my umbrella down. There's terrible wind and rain, and I'm afraid I didn't see you.
Oh, that's just what I was doing, and I'm afraid I didn't see you, Mrs. Tyson.
Oh, why, it's Ruth Taylor. Oh, is it? Is it Ruth or Jean? I can never tell you Taylor twins apart.
Well, it's hard to tell anybody in the storm. I'm Ruth.
I never saw twins so much alike. So you're Ruth? The one that works in the bank?
Yes, and that's just what I've been doing, working in the bank.
At this time of night? Why, it's after 11 o'clock.
Well, this idea of banker's hours is a myth sometimes, when they have special statements and things like that to get out.
My goodness, this storm is terrible. An awful night to be out.
Yes, the streets are like rivers.
Ruth, is that a King Street car? I can't see in the rain.
No, it's a Norwood Road car, Mrs. Tyson. I'm afraid we'll both have to wait. Here, let's get under this door.
storm under here. Say, that certainly is a pretty umbrella you're carrying.
Oh, I like bright colors. That's why I bought this red one. Tell me, how's Jimmy?
Jimmy? Oh, that boy's twice the size of any five-year-old. Oh, what a lad.
Give him my love, will you?
I will indeed. He should be proud to have such a lovely girl asking for him. My Ruth, even under this awning, I can see why they keep putting the Taylor twins' pictures in the paper.
Oh, well, that's because of my sister.
I know. And I just bet I'll see a picture of you in that outfit. Green coat, dark skirt, and that blue sweater. Just wait till Jimmy gets a little older.
Oh, I think this is your car coming. Oh, no, it's Carl's and it's mine. I'm sorry to have to leave you alone, Mrs. Tyson.
Oh, I don't mind. I only have a short way to go. But how about you? Aren't you afraid to walk from the car line along that dark ravine?
Oh, no, I'm not afraid. Good night, Mrs. Tyson.
Good night.
Now, don't worry about me. What can happen to me?
Bill, some storm last night.
Sure was. Look, Norm, down there in the ravine, there's a big maple tree blowing down.
Gee, Bill, this ravine's creepier than ever.
Like something in a mystery story. But say, Norm, what's that red thing farther down the slope there, see?
Looks like an umbrella. Never saw one that color of red before. So bright. I'm going to get it.
Come on! I'm coming. Say, Norm, that umbrella's a beaut. Hardly broken at all, just a few ribs.
Swell. Let's play parachute. My turn first. I'll jump first.
Wait, my turn first. I saw it first.
Oh, all right.
Here I go, down the hill. Whee! Whee!
Come on,
Bella.
It's my turn.
Some climb up that slope.
Wonder whose umbrella this was. Looks new.
No, no. Looks like a girl. Here you are.
Watch me. I'm going for a real ride. Not just halfway down like you did, but all the way to the bottom. Give me a push off.
Ready?
Go.
Whee! Whee, I'm bailing out. Bill! Bill, come quick.
What is it? What's the matter?
Awful, something awful. Quick, I'm scared.
I'm coming. What is it, Norm? What's the matter?
Oh, gee, Bill. Look. Look over there.
Where?
There. There. See her? It's a girl. She's dead.
Girl? Oh, yes. Her clothes are all torn.
And her head. Look.
This is terrible. Let's run for help.
Yeah. Come on.
Help!
Help! Help! Please! Help!
How long has she been dead, Sergeant?
About 8 hours, I'd say, Inspector. Horrible death.
Fiend was murdering here. Take that cloth off her head, Sergeant.
Yes, Inspector.
May the saints have mercy. The poor girl. The forehead is completely crushed.
Yes, sir. Looks like the blow just about crushed that pretty head.
What a brutal crime. She was so young, lovely young body. But what a fiend.
Yes, sir. About all you can recognize is that blue sweater.
Blue sweater. Hey, look. There's her skirt.
Right over here. Yeah, dark blue. Yeah, here's a gray coat.
Yeah? Nice clothes. Once. Hey, look over there, Sergeant. What's that?
It's a pocketbook, see?
Open it.
Money's still here. Wasn't robbery.
No, it wasn't robbery. Oh, is there any name in that purse?
Well, there's a name on the paper. Ruth Taylor.
Poor Ruth Taylor. Name's familiar, but not the face. All covered with dirt and blood there. Sergeant, this girl must have been murdered after 11 o'clock. These clothes are all wet.
That's right, Inspector. Didn't start to rain until 11 last night. The rain's probably washed away any clues.
I don't know. Rain sometimes makes clues.
We've got to get this murderer. He's at large now.
Yes, and he may strike again like this tonight.
I got a daughter at home, too. What's about this girl, do you?
Come on, Sergeant. Pull yourself together. Get the coroner's photographer to hurry up out here.
Yes, sir. Oh, here's the pocketbook, Inspector.
Wait just a minute. Ruth Taylor, Drover's Trust Company. Why, sure, Sergeant, I knew it.
What, Inspector?
Why, that face. This is Ruth Taylor, one of the Taylor twins.
That face? No. Surely that can't be.
Oh, yes, it is, Sergeant. Oh, what a tragedy. And it's the coroner who puts her picture on the front page this time.
Inspector.
Oh, good morning, Dr. Irv. Well, here's your case.
Bad as this, eh? The sooner we get this murder, the better, Inspector. What clues?
Well, I've had the police combing this spot since the body was found. There wasn't much in the way of clues.
Footprint. Plenty of mud. Sizable man made these footprints, Inspector. I want plaster a pair of molds made of these.
Well, I've kept them clean for you for that purpose, Doctor.
Good. Look at the burrs. Nice, sticky burrs all over the place. And these maple leaves.
Oak leaves, too. You count them as clues?
Oh, yes. Leaves of the white oak. What's that over there?
Piece of concrete, I guess.
A bloody piece of concrete, or I missed my guess.
Would you say that was the murder weapon, Doctor?
Uncover the poor girl's head, and maybe I can answer, Inspector.
All right. There you are.
Incredible. Incredible that one body could be so mutilated. But one thing is sure.
Yes?
That piece of bloody concrete is not the murder weapon. It's too blunt.
You mean that...
The poor girl's skull was fractured by a sharper instrument. We've got to find that.
All right. Now put the men on the job right away, Doctor. They'll rake every leaf in this ravine, dig up the earth...
Save a couple of the leaves for me, Inspector.
Leaf? What for?
I may need them to find the man who murdered this girl.
All right, Doctor. You're a criminologist, and I'm just a cop. You try your way... I'll try mine.
All right. Maybe we'll catch two murders that way. Don't forget, the Taylor girls were twins.
Now, you say, Miss Jean, that your sister Ruth had no enemies?
Oh, no. Ruth was so kind, Inspector. So wonderful. Everybody loved Ruth.
Well, Miss Jean, have you any enemies? Maybe the murderer was hunting you.
Oh, I wish it had been me.
There now. Remember, you and your sister were identical twins. You looked alike. You dressed alike. Did anyone have mistaken Ruth for you? Anyone jealous?
Well, Ruth and I, we both had boyfriends. Sometimes they would get jealous, you know, like boys do.
And who were these boyfriends?
Oh, Tom Pittman. He liked Ruth a lot. She was worth liking. I loved her. She was a part of me. I'm lost without her.
When did Tom Pittman see your sister last?
Well, it was last night. He took her out to dinner downtown. He was really jealous. He was afraid she wasn't working last night. He was afraid she was going out with Jim Larkin.
Who's Jim Larkin?
Well, I suppose you'd call him a real sport. He sells cars, owns a big red roadster, and spends lots of money. He was crazy about Ruth. Oh, Ruth.
Now, please, Miss Jean, try to collect yourself. You know, we need your help.
Well, Jim was crazy about Ruth, but she didn't like him. He swore he'd kill her before any other man should have her. We used to laugh, thinking he was fooling, but no.
Tell me, what's Larkin's address?
I don't know where he lives. None of us ever knew where he lived.
That's strange. Well, where does he work?
At the National Auto Sales Company.
Oh, National, eh? Miss Jean, did anyone ever try to molest your sister coming home at night?
Well, once in a while, she thought someone was following her.
The man?
Yes, Ruth wasn't sure, but she thought he wore a long gray ulster, a tall man, she said.
Gray ulster, eh? Did he only show up on rainy nights?
Well, yes. But Ruth would laugh about it the next morning, and we'd sort of kid her about the shadow in the gray ulster.
The shadow in the gray ulster. Miss Jean, we'll talk to Pittman and Larkin. We'll bring that shadow in the gray ulster out in the daylight. Sergeant, we've questioned all the suspects brought in so far. I'd better talk to that motorman now.
He's right outside, Inspector.
Well, bring McSorley in, then. Oh, just a minute. Did you look up Pittman and Larkin?
Yes, sir. They're snarling at each other already. I put a dictaphone in there, still, like you told me. Pretty soon that pair will be at each other's throat, and then maybe they'll spill the truth.
I don't know, Sergeant. This case is getting tougher and tougher. Well, bring in the motor.
Yes, sir. Come in.
Oh, yes. Come in, McSorley.
Hi, Inspector.
You're the motorman of the death car, are you?
Death car?
Well, Ruth Taylor met her death a few moments after she stepped off that car into the rain, didn't she?
Oh, I. To my sorrow, yes. I could take my motorman's handle to the man who committed that murder.
Yes, yes, McSorley. But tell me, who was on your car that night besides the girl?
A lot of people. It was a hockey special, Inspector. We'll run them on nights they play hockey in town.
You remember the girl?
Oh, that I do, sir. And Wheel. She rode with me every day, almost.
Where did she get off?
At the corner of Gerard and Norwood Road.
At what time?
I'll have to look at my record book, sir.
All right.
I got there at the corner. She got off, sir, at 11:43.
11:43, eh? Tell me, McSorley, do you know any of the people who were on that death car?
Why, yes, sir. There was a lot of hockey fans in the game, and John Dennison and his missus, and Miss Mary Graham, and... Oh, yes, yes, and on the back of the car was Tom Pittman.
Who?
Why, Tom Pittman. I've often seen him take Miss Taylor home at night, and I was wondering why he was on the back of the car and not up front near me.
Did Pittman get off when Miss Taylor did?
Nay, sir, but another man did.
What?
When Miss Taylor got off, another man got off with her.
Was he tall?
Yes.
And did he wear a gray ulster?
Why, that he did.
Did you get a look at his face?
Kind of look, yeah. He had his collar turned up.
Well, take a look at these pictures.
Oh, Rogue's Gallery, eh?
Yes. Do you recognize the man in any of them?
No, not this one. No. Wait. No. Yes. Here. That's him.
Are you sure?
I could swear that's the man.
Hmm. That's George Angelface Buchanan. Burglary, petty larceny, assault. Sergeant, arrest Angelface.
Yes, sir.
Round up every man and woman who was on that death car last night. But I want Angelface first.
Yes, sir.
What about it, Sergeant?
Whew. Inspector, if Angelface is guilty, he's a better actor than most. He didn't spill a thing.
Yes, he held out on me that first time, too. Bring him in again.
All right.
May I come in, Inspector?
Oh, hello, Doctor. Come in, surely. I'm just having Buchanan in for some more questions.
I have a question to ask him, too.
Just one?
Just one.
Come on, Interface. Come on. Sit down.
Buchanan, what were you doing on Norwood Road last night?
I told you.
Walking. Walking in that rain? You expect the jury to believe that?
Well, it's the truth.
Your record's against you, Angelface.
I was on Norwood Road, but I didn't kill that girl.
All right. Just hang yourself, Angelface. You had her newspaper pictures in your pocket.
So what? I often collect pictures from the papers.
Oh, just another twist in the noose, eh, Angelface? Oh, Dr. Irby here has a question to ask you.
All right, Doctor. Yes, Buchanan. Here, take this pencil and write your name on this pad.
Write my name?
Yes, just write it.
Oh, what can I lose? There you are.
All right. Anything else, Doctor?
That's all, Inspector.
Take Buchanan away, Sergeant. Whenever you're ready to confess, Angelface, just let me know.
I didn't do it. I tell you, I didn't do it.
Come on.
Well, Doctor, have you got your man?
I don't know yet, but Angelface is not the murderer.
What? Why, but how?
Buchanan wrote with his right hand. The murderer of Ruth Taylor was left-handed. See these photographs of her head?
Yes.
Those blows came from above and to the right, delivered by a left-handed man. Medium height, I'd say, from the angle and the leverage he had on the murder weapon.
What was the murder weapon?
It was short. About the size of a monkey wrench. For these blows with a wrench would have obliterated her head.
All right, Doctor, go ahead. Are you going to give me a picture of the murderer?
Not yet. But when you find him, his scotch-clad overcoat will be wet, covered with mud and burrs. But suppose you come over to my laboratory. This is my private laboratory, Inspector. I've never allowed anyone in here before.
This Taylor case deserves the honor, Doctor. What are these?
Casts of the footprints. The murderer wears a number 10 shoe, rubber heel.
Hmm. What's this?
Rabbit's hair.
Rabbit's hair?
Yes. I can't tell you any more about it now, but it may hang a man.
The sooner the better. How old will he be?
About 25. He'll have a slight limp and be clean shaven. My tests prove it.
But how?
I analyzed every minute particle found under the dead girl's nails. She put up a desperate fight. She tore his coat. That's the plaid. She clawed the man. Those enlargements are the stubble of his beard, reddish brown. You'll find a scratch on the murderer's hand, too.
Tall, Scotch plaid, limp, 25, clean shave.
Mrs. O'Donnell, I brought the baby.
Oh, thank you, nurse. Hasn't my husband come yet?
Why, no, but don't worry. He'll be here at the hospital any minute.
But he's an hour late, and he didn't come yesterday all day.
Don't upset yourself. It's almost time to nurse the baby, and you'll make yourself sick and him.
That's right. Put him here right in my arm.
There.
Oh, isn't he sweet? How happy I'd be if only Harry were here.
Well, Harry is here. The boy himself.
Oh, Harry. Harry, I worry so when you're late.
Well, you know how it is, Mary. We've been so busy at the garage.
Aren't you going to look at the baby?
Oh, sure, sure. He's a cute little type. Oh, nurse, you're not leaving.
I'll be back later, Mr. O'Donnell.
Frosty, huh? Well, I must go now, Mary.
You're leaving already?
Well, I promised Ma and Pa to drop by for supper tonight.
Well, all right. Come back tomorrow. You will come back tomorrow. I missed you so today.
Sure, I'll come every day. Glad you and the kid are so well.
We have done well. Little Harry's only 3 days old, but you can see he's exactly like his father. Exactly like you, Harry, darling. Kiss me.
There you are. Cheerio. See you tomorrow.
Goodbye, dear. Why aren't you wearing your heavy overcoat? Rained so hard last night and it's cold outside, I know.
If you were dying, you'd worry about me.
I probably would. You're so tall and handsome and good, Harry. Good.
Well, toodaloo. See you tomorrow.
Goodbye, darling. Goodbye.
What's all the racket outside, nurse?
They're hunting for the murderer of Ruth Taylor.
Huh?
They're searching houses, stores, every place. Looking for a tall young man who wears a Scotch plaid overcoat.
Oh, well, I hope they find him. But when they do, he'll probably be short, fat, and wearing kilts. Yeah, goodbye.
Goodbye, Mr. O'Donnell.
What can we do for you, officer?
Listen, sir. You keep a grocery store, and you know everybody in this neighborhood, don't you?
Well, yes, and it's a good neighborhood, too.
Yeah, I know that. And that's what they tell me everywhere. But this is murder.
What?
Yes. That Ruth Taylor case. We're hunting a young man, tall, wearing a Scotch plaid overcoat. He's clean-shaven and walks with a limp. He's left-handed, too, and,
Why, it can't be. No.
Can't be what?
Well, I know the man you describe, but he can't be a murderer.
Who is he? Why can't he be?
Well, he's Harry O'Donnell, a model young husband. Wife and just a baby.
Where can I find him? Quick.
Where? If he ain't at his home on Wood Street, he'll be at Norwood Garage. But he never killed Ruth Taylor. Not Harry O'Donnell.
Yes, sir. How many?
I'd like 5 gallons of gas. What's your name?
Why, customers don't usually ask names.
I'm not a usual customer. Come on, what's your name?
My name is O'Donnell, Harry O'Donnell.
Hold out your hand. Oh, left-handed, eh? Turn it over.
What is this?
Let me see the back of that hand. I'm Inspector of Police. Come on. Oh, a scratch, eh? How'd you get it?
Working here on this gas pump.
Let me have that tire iron. So this is what you clubbed her with. O'Donnell, you're wanted for the murder of Ruth Taylor.
I never heard of her. I never saw her except in the newspapers.
Any man who can laugh over a fate like that.
Well, I wasn't laughing at that. I was laughing at you thinking I had anything to do with this.
Prosecuting attorney will proceed with the witness.
Yes, Your Honor. Now, Dr. Erb, I show you this photograph.
State's Exhibit 25. Can you identify it?
Yes, sir. It's a composite photograph, life-size, of the man which all my laboratory tests show is the murderer of Ruth Taylor.
I object. Objection overruled. Proceed.
How is this man and the photograph reconstructed, Doctor?
His height and weight were determined by footprints found at the scene of the crime. Her feet were not muddied. Therefore, the murderer carried this girl, who weighed 120 pounds, from the road down the ravine. In doing so, he left tracks that indicated a limp, some slight defect in the right foot.
Those tracks also showed a certain type of rubber heel, did they not?
Yes. Those shown in the inset. And the soles were hand-sewn, newly repaired. These photographic enlargements of the footprints in the mud show that clearly. I also indicated that burrs and maple leaves would be found in the murderer's clothing, as the facts prove.
And the color of the hair, Doctor? How did you arrive at that?
These photographs are giant enlargements of the tiny particles of flesh and hair found under the murdered girl's fingernails. They show, one, the stubble of the man's beard, scratched from his face in the struggle, and two, the fine hair from the back of the hand. The color of both is reddish-brown.
Same color hair and beard of the defendant, Harry O'Donnell?
Yes, exactly.
I show the jury State's Exhibit 27. 27.
Is this more of Dr. Laboratory rubbish? The prosecuting attorney will proceed.
Your Honor, this is the final piece of evidence the state will present. Dr. Ebb, I show you this cellophane envelope. What does it contain?
Rabbit hair.
Rabbit hair?
Yes, sir. In that envelope are 234 blue rabbit hairs.
Blue? Where did you get them, Doctor?
We found them on the overcoat and on the suit of the defendant, Harry O'Donnell.
The defendant's wife recently had a baby, Dr. Ebb. Would those rabbit hairs come from baby garments?
No baby garments in the O'Donnell home contained rabbit hairs of this type. These are known as Belgian rabbit hairs. Those on the baby's garments were Ardona.
Dr. Erb, I show you again. State's Exhibit number 1. Will you identify it again, please?
It's the sweater worn by Ruth Taylor on the night she was murdered.
What color is this sweater?
Sky blue. Rabbit hair dyed sky blue.
Same kind of blue rabbit hair as the 234 blue rabbit hairs found on the clothing of the defendant O'Donnell?
Yes, sir.
Exactly the same?
Yes, sir. Science proves without a doubt that the blue clues found in the sweater and on the defendant's clothing are twins.
Turn around, O'Donnell.
All right, Sheriff.
Is the noose ready, Edward?
The noose is adjusted, Sheriff.
Have you anything to say, O'Donnell?
Only that I love my wife and baby boy. That I'm innocent. I'm sorry for my wife and baby. My father and mother. My wonderful wife. All my regrets are for them.
Is that all?
That's all.
The trap door. Spring it.
Be with us again when truth and justice triumph in the name of the law.
One of the first radio series to be based on actual police files, In the Name of the Law. Program number 12 in this short-lived series, He Did It, or Did He? A syndicated transcription from August 16th, 1936. And with that, we come to the end of this hour of Old Time Radio. I'm Jake Longwell. Thank you, as always, for your company. Join me again when you can for another hour of sounds from radio's golden era. The Upstate Radio Theater is distributed by Quality Radio Productions.